Hi, my name's Nicole and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, my name is Calvin and I am a very much a fake fan of Indiana Jones. I've only played Lego Indiana Jones on the Wii, and that's the extent of my knowledge.
Hi,
Hi,
Calvin.
Hi, my name is Tristan. And you guys, I'm so happy today because, oh, well, I'm a fake fan, first of all. But I'm so happy because the only thing I've seen in my entire life is the 90s TV show, The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones.
Hi, Hi Tristan.
We're all pogging. We're all pogging.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, young Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. Adventures of Young Indiana Jones. I know it played like the 90s for a little bit. I'm not exactly sure when, but something that I've heard of.
Today we watched Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom. Before we started this meeting and podcast, we had seen Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indiana Jones 1, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The night that Fake Fans Anonymous was conceived.
That is true.
Oh, that's right.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was the first one we watched. You guys came to my house and we watched it. Because had you seen it before, Nicole? Or did you just see
like
parts of it?
Maybe I've seen parts of it.
And then we just had this conversation about movies that we'd never seen before. So Indiana Jones, Adventure Daddy started.
Adventure fans. Daddy like brought, literally is our dad. Like he brought us into the world.
If we'd like make an icon, it should be Harrison Ford.
Wow.
Like Harrison Ford can be our mascot.
Is that allowed? Does he have a cameo? I feel like he'd have a cameo. I feel like he'd be the actor who would.
Oh my gosh, if Harrison Ford had a cameo, I'd be so much money.
And then you
for
can
that.
Tell him, like, say, like, don't be a fake fan. I would, like, poo my pants.
Don't be a fake fan.
Oh my gosh, I'd be. Ooh. I love Harrison Ford so much.
He's very attractive. Like, I can't stand him.
I can't stand him.
Let's just simply give a quick synopsis of the movie, Tristan. What is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom all about?
There is a lot. There is a lot. It really boils down to these like mystical stones, part of like this small village in India. It's part of their religion. And then this cult steals the stones, and Indiana Jones just happens to stumble upon the story unfolding. There's this cult that takes the stones and like gives sacrifices to the god Shiva. And then they have these child slaves, and it's all this whole thing. It is kind of hard to understand. You do have to watch it to really get all the pieces of it, but that's basically what it boils down to. It's another mystical artifact movie, which is what Indiana Jones is, because he's an archaeologist going after these things. And it's just a really, really fun time. I came into this today. I told you guys that this was like probably my least favorite of the trilogy. Now I might step back and say that Last Crusade is my least favorite, because I just had a lot of fun watching this and a lot of fun watching you two watch this.
Well, let's go around and announce who is the fake fan today. Nicole, are you a fake fan of Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom?
Yes, partially because for a while, Indiana Jones movies were the ones I'd put on and like fall asleep to. Not because they're bad, but just it was like comforting. Harrison Ford, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
Big Daddy vibes.
Big Daddy. Adventure Daddy.
Straight up. Okay, anyway. But, so I've probably seen that opening sequence probably like 50 times. Because when you have that movie, you fall asleep to, you've seen it 50 times. But it was really interesting to kind of see the story. And it definitely is like way darker. Which, and it had more surprises and shocks in it. And, like, you know they're all going to live because that's Indiana Jones and he, like, saves everyone. But it did make you question for, like, even a split second, like, oh, my God, are they actually going to make it? Which I haven't felt like that in a movie in a long time.
That's true. The tension is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
I think part of that, I you know me, I worship John Williams. I worship at that dude's feet and Steven Spielberg, too, I guess. But I remember the first sacrifice when the music just kept building and building as the body kept getting lowered and it was showing the people like swaying in the crowd. I was like, I got a little sweaty there, and I've seen this movie a million times, and it's very good tension.
Yeah, the tension of this one was incredible. Like with that same sacrifice scene, the guy already ripped his heart out, but then you see his chest reforms and reshapes itself, and he's still like alive. so something's going on here. And then he gets lowered in. Like it's a long sequence to watching him get tortured and then get lowered into the hellhole. And it's just like, what could they do now? Like, he's already had his heart ripped out. What's next? Then you watch his like flesh get burned apart, and then you see like Indiana Jones gets possessed. Like, wow, we went to the level where it's not even like the good guy isn't possessed. He got possessed, and he could lose his soul, you know. And we're all just watching that. It was an incredible story arc for Indiana Jones. Honestly, I was really amazed.
Are we not doing spoilers? We don't care about spoilers on Fake Fans, right?
I think we operate on a statute of limitations kind of thing. If the movie were recent, then we could probably...
Okay, so, like, to me, like, the most suspenseful part was where they wanted him to drink the blood to possess him, because that's how he was possessed, is he had to drink that blood out of that really creepy, like, decrepit head. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, spits it out, because Short Round says to, and then he does, and you're like, okay, he's gonna get out. But then they actually do make him drink the blood, and then he is possessed. That really just got me. That honestly was like, that really freaked me out. I didn't like that. I
mean, they take it to the brink of him like dying or losing. Like, they do take it to that brink before they pull him back and make him the victorious hero. And that's what's really great about this. Mm-hmm. I am a fake fan. Well, if you remember, Nicole and I, particularly me at least, because Nicole, you said you had seen parts of it. I had never even turned on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Really?
Like, the most I've seen would be parts of the Anything Goes sequence from Temple of Doom, and maybe, like, just the fight scene on the ship in the third movie, and the ball rolling in the first movie. But you can't avoid that in pop culture. But beyond what I have ever seen that, consciously, I've never turned it on. And that's why, like, I really am a fake fan of this one particularly. I just have aesthetically understood Indiana Jones, but I've never seen it. It feels good to have it off my chest. Thank God.
Oh, thank Lord. You, Harrison Ford, for setting me free.
I love him. Like, really set me free, because I'm obsessed with him.
He is sexy as hell. Harrison Ford is a piece of man, dude.
Hot, like, damn.
Honestly, like, I usually don't ever have, like, celebrity crushes or, like, think they're hot. I don't know why, I just don't. But Harrison Ford is, like, the one.
Mm-hmm. I think that means you have a celebrity crush then.
Well, yeah, because my brain's been waiting for Harrison Ford. He's been waiting for the one.
I'm waiting for Harrison Ford.
I'm saving myself for Harrison Ford.
That's what I was subconsciously doing.
Aren't we all?
This is a placeholder, man.
Tristan, are you a fake fan of this film? You've already said it, but just to fill the format.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I've seen this a lot. I remember, I was thinking about it when I was watching this. The first time I watched the Indiana Jones movies. So, you guys know me. I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I have been since, like, birth. So, I know Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford. And we had these movies on VHS, and I just never watched them. And then there was one weekend where I was, like, really sick, like really bad chest cold sick, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna watch the Indiana Jones trilogy because I've never seen them before. And it was like, I can't believe a sick day has stuck in my memory like that, and it was a good sick day. And these movies, like, I can understand what you said, Nicole, about like falling asleep to these, because they can be, I don't want to say slow, but for a kid they could be slow, because there's not a beam that goes in the sky, there's no Thanos, there's none of that. But these movies, the more I watch them, the more I love them. So no, I'm not a fake fan of these ones.
They feel comforting. Like, mm-hmm. They're like terrifying, but like comforting.
Well, the first memory I have of Indiana Jones stuff was I got a book from the library about Spielberg and George Lucas, and they said something like, oh, we grew up with these pulpy movies that would play at the movie house that were all about like, this action hero has to do something, and at the end there's a cliffhanger and you have to watch the next week's film to get the next installment. And they're like, wow, we watched that and these were crappy, you know, these were like low budget, and but they are so fun for kids, we could do so much better with the budget that we have. And they went full out on this, and I think that's why it's like comforting in a way, because they're hearkening back to their childhood in a way where they loved these action heroes and they made their own version of it. And that's what's so captivating about these characters. I think I love it.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like it's a nostalgic comfort, it's like Poltergeist, for example. We watched Poltergeist, and I felt the same thing, even though that's like a horror movie. But it's got that 80s aesthetic to it. It's like the thing that you grow up with, that these movies that you watch as a kid. And it does definitely have that. And for old farts like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas as well, it's like nostalgic for them because it's harkening back to the stuff that they watched growing up.
Nicole, what did you love about this film?
Harrison Ford, and I really loved...
You just love that, like, shirtless man, huh?
Mm-hmm. I love that shirtless man.
Yo, no shame at all, because
ditto. I don't care who you are, boy or girl.
I mean, this... Look, let's not beat around the bush. A lot of these great films have a lot of sex appeal. That's great.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
The scene where Indian Willie is like, will they, won't they? Fucking hilarious, dude.
Oh my god, I can't. And then he like gets freaking choked out by like a killer. Like, okay, we're just gonna decide this. What could that even mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, back to the question.
Yeah, Nicole. Back to your question.
And I really liked seeing like a different side of Indiana Jones' character, like with Short Round. I like that dynamic. I thought that was super sweet, and I like how they emphasize that a lot, because I feel like with someone like as hot as Harrison Ford, and like, oh, I'm just saying, like, he's attractive, and so you could think like it's all gonna be about the love interest, but like I love how they focused on Short Round too. Like, they didn't push his character aside, mm-hmm. and how like when Short Round was like trying to get him to snap out of it, and he like said, like, you're my best friend, like, I love you. I was like, what? Like, no one says that to Indiana Jones like that. But like, this little kid does, because he does love him. Like, it's not just some like stupid girl, Willie.
That's something I noticed this time too. Like, every time Indy's doing something, you can see Short Round in the background just doing the exact same thing. Aww. And I loved the, like, because obviously Indiana Jones doesn't have any kids at this point. But Short Round kind of plays it. We talked about this before we started recording, like the surrogate father-son thing. And I love, there's the scene when after Indy like wakes up and they fight all the people and save Willie, and Short Round walks up to him, and Indy puts his hat on, and it's like, and Short Round hands Indy his hat as well. I was like, wow, that's really sweet, and that's really good filmmaking.
Yeah, the fact that they were able to show Indy's like other sides to him. Because in the first one, we get the classic hero side to him, and you get the classic love interest. But this one, yeah, we get the sweeter side to him. We get the, like, a tender, fatherly love side to him. I'm thinking particularly where we have that pan shot where we see Short Round beating up the Maharaja kid, and you pan over, and here's Indiana Jones doing the same exact punches on the big buff dude. And that was like, yeah, that's the perfect summation of this going on right now. Just this reflective father, the son is the copy of the father kind of thing. It's very classical, but it was so fun. And it's such a great opportunity to explore this other side to him. I love that. I love that.
And then Willie's off somewhere screaming.
Yeah.
Fucking around.
Fuck Willie. Honestly, like, just so annoying.
Honestly, Willie is my only thing about this movie that I don't like. She's, like you said also, there's no, like, redemption for her. She's just screaming blonde the whole time.
And, like, well, not only that, too, it's, like, as, like, written as a character, like, there's no point to her. Like, you honestly could take her out and, like, say, like, you just add, like, some random girl from, like, India. I don't know. Like, into the where Willie was gonna get thrown into the lava. Like, that was it. Maybe you had to replace an actress. But, like, other than that, I just didn't really care. Like, I couldn't see a point with, like, any sort of story development or, like, reason why they had her in there.
Yeah, Willie's clearly the weak link here. Like, of all things, her role as this female character, sidekick, or love interest could be improved entirely. Like, it didn't have to be this club singer. It didn't have to be this, like, rich celebrity type. It could have been so many other people, particularly someone who could have reflected Indiana's arc as well as Short Round did. But they didn't, and that's where it's kind of disappointing, because, yeah, he doesn't ever get a redemptive arc. At the end, she's just, like, less of an asshole, and there's nothing more to it.
This is completely speculative. I read before this that George Lucas was divorcing his wife. George Lucas's wife is very instrumental in George Lucas's early career. She, like, helped edit Star Wars to make it better. I think she's the reason that Marion in Raiders of the Lost Ark has so much agency, because there is, I saw something floating around, and I love Steven Spielberg, I love George Lucas, I love Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark, but there was a thing that was going around where they were like talking about Marion and the writing process, and it was like super fucking misogynistic and shit. So I think that, again, speculative, I'm not sure if this is real, but maybe George Lucas's wife stepped in and said, no, you should have Marion do this. There was, I think Raiders of the Lost Ark was supposed to end after the ritual scene with the Ark of the Covenant. Like, it was supposed to end there, and then George Lucas's wife came in and said, it was supposed to end with Indiana Jones talking to the, like, government agents about what the Ark, what was going to happen to the Ark of the Covenant, and then it was going to end, it was going to go from that meeting to Area 51. But George Lucas's wife said, what happened to Marion? Why isn't Marion a part of this? So they added the scene of Indy coming out and talking to Marion again. So I think George Lucas's wife may have had something to do with Willie's character being shafted in this. But again,
if George Lucas isn't connected to his wife anymore, who's adding character to it, then all that either George Lucas knows is like, oh, let's just put a woman in there and call it a day. Here's Short Round. He's a good character, but not enough energy into developing a real living female sidekick here.
Like, I wish they would have taken out Willie and like develop Indiana Jones and Short Round's relationship more.
Yeah.
Like, you could have added time in of like a little flashback of like Indiana Jones like finding Short Round, like when he was picking his pocket, instead of explaining it to Willie. Like, yeah. Like, do you think like Marion could have been like that?
Gosh, if Marion was like that, I feel like Raiders would have been a little
like she's
less good.
She's kind of like that at the beginning where she, like, throws that shot glass and she's like, I was young, I was in love. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of like that vibe a little bit. But then, like, everything else is, like, redeemed. And before that, she did that drinking contest with that guy, which I feel like they wouldn't have written. Like, Willie wouldn't have done that.
She's got a lot of agency and autonomy in that one. Like, when she single-handedly has to, like, I guess manipulate that Egyptian Nazi guy.
Like, wear that dress and shit.
Yeah, wearing the dress and stuff. Like, she has her mission there. Willie never has a mission, you know? She never has something to do. She's just, like, getting thrown around and followed around and then imprisoned and then saved and then... Like, I remember, like, there's the shot in Temple of Doom where she, like, punches the air while Indy's actually punching the big guy. Like, she's, like, supporting him. But, like, even Short Round is getting his hands dirty and, like, fighting the Maharaja himself, you know? Whereas Willie just doesn't. And, I mean, they could have replaced it with an actual Indian woman there at the palace, like an Esther story or something like that. Maybe she's like a servant. I don't know. Just any character of depth could have really added here. And
the only reason Willie even came along is because she shoved the antidote in her dress
while she was looking for the diamond. She didn't care about the antidote.
And that's why, like, Indiana Jones is like, well, shit, we don't have time, so I'm going to shove you through this window and we're going to figure it out here.
What's the test? Isn't it like if you can replace a woman in a movie with like a lamp or something? Something about a woman in a freezer. It's like a comic book thing. Do you know what I'm
talking about? Oh, yeah. If you could just replace a woman with anything else, like, it's not a good enough character.
And I'm not going to spoil it for next week, but I know that the third indie girl has some. She's a better written character. But I'm not going
to
spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it.
Good to hear. Between the two, Temple of Doom and Raiders of the Lost Ark, where do you guys rank the two?
I like the first one better. I can admire like all the Indiana Jones movies because it's Indiana Jones, obviously, and like respect on them. But like, I'm not one for like super dark stuff. I don't like stuff with kids. It makes me uncomfortable. And like the first one, it feels a little bit more lighthearted. It seems like all the characters are cohesive and like have a part.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. So I like that one the most.
I would agree. Indiana Jones movies are campy because they're supposed to be. They're like paying homage to the B movies of the 50s and stuff. I just think that the first one, I just think it's better written. It's better made. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. There's just like a feeling of Raiders of the Lost Ark that's the most like adventure Indiana Jones to me. I can't explain it, but Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite. I love that movie.
I'm not certain that I think Raiders is better. I don't know. Like, I can't say for certain whether I like one more than the other. But I will say, in Raiders, it felt a little slower than Temple of Doom. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking particularly, like, there's a lot of, not setup, but you have to, like, get introduced to Marion. And then there's, like, they go to Egypt, and then you have to meet these people in Egypt who are excavating. And there's, like, this bit of an arc with these characters who then you don't see again. And it gets slow in the beginning, particularly. It feels like there's less connective tissue for some of the elements in that film. Whereas in Temple of Doom, it's all one go. You know, they crash land in India, and they just keep going and pushing and pushing, and there's never a moment down. Like, I was thinking particularly watching this one, after they escape the mineshaft, they get to the bridge, and it doesn't stop there. Short Round falls through the through the bridge, and then they're surrounded again. And, you know, like, I really had to, like, lean back, because if I kept leaning forward, I would, like, just fall out of the seat and have a heart attack. So I really think Temple of Doom at least stands up to Raiders of the Lost Ark. It could edge it out. I can't say for certain, but I feel like, wow, that it was up there. It was up there for certain.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah.
At the end, was that, like, kid who was the prince or whatever, was he, like, possessed too?
Yeah, yeah, because Short Round used the same fire.
Yeah, he used
the
fire and, like, purified him. Bogged him, whatever. Not pooped him. What the hell?
Purified him.
Yeah.
He's purified just like he purified India.
And, yeah, okay, I was wondering that for a sec, because I was like...
So the cult brought this kid out of nowhere, and he was just a puppet. Ah.
So with that being said, our next movie is going to be Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. Tristan, you want to say anything about that?
It's good. Watching this now, I think that it's the weakest of the trilogy, but I still really liked it. It's no Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but it's also no Raiders of the Lost Ark. So we'll get there when they get there. I'm sure we'll all enjoy it because it's Indiana Jones. It's from the 90s still, so it's still in that, like, it's still got George. It's pre-CGI. That's what I realized watching this one. Is I noticed the sets, I noticed the matte paintings, and then if you get to Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, they no CGI, they get it, and it hasn't dated well, whereas just physical stuff does date well. So, like I said, we'll get there when we get there.
I mean, every movie we watch is, like, an essential, but I mean, Indiana Jones is heavily steeped in, like, other things in pop culture. It's one of those movies you really have to watch, if any of the ones that we talk about, because it's, like, you should just watch it if you want to get, like, anything else, really.
If you want to be a member of public society.
American culture.
Society, yeah.
It is interesting that these movies that were so, like, influenced by things that came before it, in turn, influence so many things that happen now. Like, can you... If I'm lucky enough to make movies and I have some... Like, because I'm going to be honest, my movies are just going to be ripoffs of shit. Like... Because I want to do the same thing that George Lucas and Steven Spielberg did, where I take things that I love about the movies I saw and put those into my own someday. And, like, just the idea of having movies based on things that influenced you influence future filmmakers is just, like, crazy to think about.
Well, that actually illustrates the purpose of seeing these kind of movies is because they had influences before them. And they influence things today, and today's going to influence tomorrow. And in order to understand the kind of the timeline, you're missing some pieces along the way if you don't see these kind of films too. It's not that these films are siloed off and like, oh, this movie is super important and just because it's the movie. It's to understand in greater the whole culture of movies and pop culture surrounding it and that comes from it. And maybe that's a big reason to watch this film. Simply to have another connective piece to the grand narrative of the world around you. You know, now I really understand more about Indiana Jones, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, the whole thing, the whole 80s moment and American culture in general. Tristan, you want to give us our send-off?
Sure thing. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. If you go into the back, we have chilled monkey brains. I didn't think about this.